Wendy's new Biggie Deals lets you choose whatever you're in the mood for. It's like a music mixing board of deals, and you're the producer. Go with some chill folk music with a JBC in the $4 Biggie Bite snack. Try the drum and bass of deals with a double stack in the $6 Biggie Bag. Or go full-on sandwich symphony with an $8 Biggie Bundle, the grand finale of snacking. And the best part? They all come with napkins! $4, $6, and $8 Biggie Deals how you want them. At Wendy's.
Price and participation may vary. Single items at regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska, California, and Hawaii.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, from sheep shearing champions to a long-awaited tribute to the Coors, Breakfast Briefing presenter Shane Beattie has the stories that you might have missed across the country this week. Hello, Shane.
Afternoon, Claire. How are you?
Good to be back with you again.
Yes.
We're going to start in Dublin, and housing is going nowhere off the agenda.
Absolutely. And listen, the Dublin housing crisis, it's gotten so bad that people are now actually making games out of it, because it's either a situation where you laugh or cry. Of course, if you're in the Dublin housing situation, if you're renting or buying. So the Indo this week has the story about a guy called Evan Ward. Now, he works for KPMG, who are a big employer and pay quite well, but he says he's been left with no option but to move back to his family home in Laois, because he's one of those people who got a termination order from his landlord. And once you get one of those, it's very hard to find somewhere new to live in Dublin. So Evan Ward preparing to move back in with his parents because he spent weeks looking for suitable and affordable accommodation in Dublin. His lease is up next week, so he's having to move back to Laois. But he's created a game called Dublin Rent Roulette. It's like Wordle. Do you ever play Wordle?
No, I don't really. I'm trying to spend less time on my phone, not more, but I am aware of it.
Yeah. I've only started playing Wordle in the last week or two. It's good for brain training, but it's kind of tough as well some mornings. But basically, this is kind of similar to Wordle. So how Dublin Rent Roulette works is you guess the monthly rent of realdaft.ie listings. And it kind of shows how extreme the market is. So they'll show you pictures of a house and you have to guess what the listing is for it. And Evan says making a fun game out of the stress of the housing crisis helped alleviate it a bit for him, a little bit. So the game shows you three different rental properties in Dublin listed. You guess the rent based on its location and description. You only get five guesses for the monthly rent of the property, and then the game will tell you if it's higher or lower. But 7,000 people have played the game so far.
Okay.
So a lot of people interested in this.
So will he make a few quid that might make him be able to afford something
in
Dublin?
Actually, that's not a bad idea. Yeah, you never know. We could make a game show out of this even.
Monetize it, for sure. And look, I don't mean to minimise what is a huge deal for a lot of people, and that there should be options and choices on where you want to live, raise your family, have your friendships, your relationships, and indeed work. But there's a lot worse places you could be than Laois. It's
my favourites. But like, the prices are mad on this rent roulette game. So average rent for a studio is €1,225. Some of the two beds they're showing a month, €2,795. If you want to live in places like Donnybrook, like, it's mad money.
Yeah, that's not a game. That's a horror.
And it certainly is a game of roulette. Yeah, definitely.
Another favourite county of mine, Wicklow, are going to for our next story.
You like Wicklow. Do you ever shear sheep when you're in Wicklow?
I've never shorn a sheep.
Shorn, very good. It looks so hard and so skillful, in fairness. And we also know Ireland, we love our sheep, but in New Zealand, they love their sheep as well. And now a Wicklow man has become the first non-national to become the top-ranked sheep shearer in New Zealand. So this is Wicklow's Sean Dunn, who has been crowned the number one junior shearer in New Zealand. And the Wicklow people says his father, Tom Dunn, this is in his blood, right? So his dad, Tom Dunn, is a member of the Wicklow Cheviot Sheep Owners Association, which I assume is a fancy breed of sheep, and is also chairman of the Irish Sheep Shearing Association. And Sean's grandfather, Paddy Dunn, from Hollywood, just out the road from Kildare, was a four-time All-Ireland Sheep Shearing Champion. So basically, Sean grew up in Lara, surrounded by sheep, so he kind of knows nothing else. But like a lot of people, they've moved to New Zealand. And for the last 2 years, he's worked in New Zealand for Johnny Kirkpatrick. And other sheep shearers from all over the world also go over for 5 months in order to compete in the sheep shearing games. And this season, Sean competed in 14 competitions, made it through to 13 finals. He won 6 of them, finished 2nd in 5 occasions, and came 3rd in the other 3 times. And he's also represented his country in all categories of shearing, blades and wool handling. And he's a real overachiever, this guy. He also won the Top Quality Award from all grades of shearers at many of the shows. So everyone in Wicklow apparently very proud of him.
Well, good for him.
Yes. A name to watch in the sheep shearing world.
Yeah, 100%. I wonder what the metrics are. Is it speed? Is it skill? Is it number of sheep? It's something we may have to revisit,
yeah,
Shane.
Yeah, and what do you do with all the wool as well, I suppose.
Yeah. Now, hedgehogs. Some of my favourites. Unfortunately, on the way in, I saw one who had said farewell at the side of the road.
No.
Yes, not through his or her own choice.
I was going to say to you, you don't see hedgehogs that much, but unfortunately you have in the
It's a roadkill vision usually.
Well, if you do see a hedgehog, I don't think you would qualify because they have to be alive for the survey. But if you do see a hedgehog that's alive, you have to tell someone about it because Hedgehog Conservation Ireland and researchers at the University of Galway and Oxford are calling on people to take part in the All-Ireland Hedgehog Count. Apparently this goes on every year. It's like a census for hedgehogs, essentially. And the aim of the project is to kind of help scientists better understand Ireland's hedgehog population. Now, the clock is ticking on this because the official census begins next Monday, that's the 8th of June, for a period of 1 week. So what you have to do is go out into your garden or your local park or your local green area or maybe even a forest to find hedgehogs. Now, I didn't realise this. Hedgehogs come out at 10 o'clock at night. Did you know that?
Only because content creator James Kavanagh has one called Elton in his back garden and he shares a lot.
Really? Okay.
And he gave him a little place to hibernate and everything. Okay. Him and the gardener built him something special Elton.
Yeah.
Ready to emerge again. So we should be seeing more content from him soon.
I must keep an eye on that. But they come out at around 10 o'clock at night. Basically when it starts getting dark in the summer, it's around 9 or 10. And they really like to eat cat food as well. So that's what you're supposed to leave out for them. Don't pick them up would be the obvious thing though.
Because
you're going to prickly experience. Hedgehog numbers, though, sadly, have dropped quite dramatically, on average between 30 and 50%. In some parts of rural England, there's an estimated 75% decline in hedgehog numbers. That's huge in the last 20 years. And unfortunately, what's going on in England is also happening here as well. So from next Monday, go out and have a look. And if you do see a hedgehog, that's alive, preferably, go on to irishhedgehogsurvey.com and fill in the details.
I always think anyone who grew up in the 90s might remember Challenge Annika and montage at the start of that programme with Annika Rice. They had her building a bridge. And it was a cartoon, but building a bridge for hedgehogs to cross the road. And I'm actually all in favour of that becoming a reality.
Yes.
Now, the Corrs, tell us a bit about them.
I love the Corrs. Do you like the Corrs?
I do like the Corrs, yeah. I think they must be County Loud's biggest exports.
They are. They're very proud of them there, certainly. That's a great song as well, Summer Sunshine. They are the pride of Louth, and now the musical journey and enduring legacy of the Corrs is being celebrated because we have a special exhibition at the County Museum in Dundalk, which was actually launched by the four siblings as well. And the Indo says the exhibition showcases a unique collection of personal artefacts and memorabilia. It's about time we did something like this for the Corrs, recognise them more. Now, the things you can see at this exhibition, we have the family organ, where they all used to gather as kids to sing around, which is nice to have. They also have a guitar owned by Jim Corr that he bought in the local Cummiskey's music shop. And we have a baron that was played by Caroline Corr. Also on display, if you go along to this exhibition, we have Sharon's violin, Andrea's tin whistle, and a leather jacket with the Corrs logo from all the way back in 1996 when they did a big tour. And they have also their signed double platinum disc, which was presented to the band by Warner Music for sales of their album Talk on Corners. Also, you're going to see at this exhibition demo recordings, footage of their first live performance, rare photographs, and interviews with the band and their longtime manager. Sounds like a really comprehensive exhibition, in fairness, if you're a fan of the Corrs. Now, you need to get your skates on with this too, because the exhibition only runs until the 27th of June, which is a Saturday. And the best thing about this, admission is free.
Okay, I love that. And like, not only do they have their huge chart success, but they really encapsulate what it means to be Irish, that kind of singing as a family.
Absolutely.
And they just happen to go and make it
and
a career.
There, we're talking about Andrea with the Tin Whistle. Like, she brought the Tin Whistle to a new stage internationally as well. So County Museum in Dundalk, if you're interested in the course.
Now, a cafe in Donegal is your last story.
It's so quiet. It's oh so still.
Yeah, a cafe in Donegal. We're going to a cafe in Letterkenny for our final story. We all know what it's like when you go into a cafe. People are glued to their phones and their laptops and stuff like that. Actually, I remember being in, I think it was Killybegs, also in Donegal before, I think just after COVID, and someone was sitting beside me in the cafe doing a job interview via Zoom. And you could hear, I'm sure, the coffee machine in the background. Like, we weren't whispering because they were doing an interview. But I just thought he had his suit on, he had a tie on, doing a full-blown job interview in the cafe.
Wow.
Not appropriate, but anyway.
I always think of, in the pandemic, my hairdresser saying she was interviewing four juniors.
Yeah, yeah.
And three of them did it lying on the bed.
My God.
Looking up at the phone. And one of them said, how long will this go on? Because my battery's about to die. You're hired.
So professional. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we want cafes to be a little bit more quiet, a little bit more friendly and a little bit less tech heavy. So if you'd like a quieter coffee and no screens, this might be an option for you, because there's a new experience launching in Letterkenny with a simple but radical idea where you leave your phone in your pocket, sit down with strangers and see what happens. Donegal Daily have this story. It's all down to a group called Clon and Co, and they're bringing what they're calling an offline cafe to Brew Lab in Letterkenny. So the idea of an offline cafe is straightforward. Basically, you arrive in, put your phone down or turn it off, spend 2 hours playing games, sharing conversation and meeting new people in a warm, relaxed setting. And you can bring kind of what you want to the cafe. So you could bring maybe a board game, a deck of cards. You could bring some wool for knitting, some colouring, anything that gets your hands busy and conversation going. The owner of the cafe, Kyle, says we're buzzing to be part of this because we believe in proper coffee, proper chats and people maybe looking up from their phones long enough to remember that they actually have friends. So it's the offline cafe, and he says it feels like a perfect fit to have it. So it's in Brew Lab in Letterkenny, and that's going to be on Wednesday the 17th of June. And if that takes off, I'd say other cafes will follow suit, because it is depressing when you go in and everyone's on their phones.
I know. And even though, you know, you can be catching up, you can be getting your news, you can be texting people back, and you know, it's up to people how they spend their time.
True.
But we are missing out on that bit of connection, and it is important.
You're not looking up and seeing who else is in the cafe. You might have no idea a friend of a friend is there, you know, so it's a nice idea.
Or if you turn to the person beside you and comment on the weather, as we do here in Ireland, it sparks up a bit of conversation. That might be the only contact they have with somebody.
Yeah,
and I think it's important, the person making the coffee, bringing in your toasted sandwich, that we all have a little bit of chat.
And look at your server as well. Look them in the eyes.
There are events like this, offline events happening here in Dublin. I had someone on Alive and Kicking about it, and
there's
they said
movement.
The reaction is huge, and they even had someone in their 20s say, thank you so much. I feel like you've broken what has felt like an addiction to the phone. If I can do 2 hours, I know I can do better in life. Yeah. So look, let's give it a try and see.
I'm going to take your advice and put down my phone then for the weekend.
Maybe not the whole weekend, but 2 hours here and there.
Good
Shane.
Idea.
Lovely to be back with you. Shane Beattie will be back next week on Breakfast Briefing and next week with the regional roundup on Lunchtime Live. Have a lovely weekend.
Thanks, Emil. You too, Claire.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.